Exploring and Applying the Parables, Parva Press. The Parables of the Lost Sheep, the Lost Coin, the Prodigal Son, and His Elder Brother. The First Two Parables, the Shepherd and the Lost Sheep. The scene. The picture of the shepherd looking after his flock of sheep was a very familiar one to Jesus' hearers. The local terrain was open, rugged, and at certain times of the year very dry. So the shepherd must constantly lead his flock from one place to the next, searching for the best possible feeding area. The future King David spent much of his youth out on the hillsides, looking after his father's sheep, continually leading them to fresh pasture, and with rod and staff, sling and stone, rescuing them and protecting them from wild animals. Although in the West our pictures frequently show a single shepherd with his sheep, Eastern shepherds rarely worked alone. There would be a group of them, as Luke records there were out on the hillsides on the night of the angel's announcement of the birth of the Saviour who is Christ the Lord. So when Luke refers to leaving the 99 in the open country, almost certainly the main flock of sheep could be safely left in the care of fellow shepherds, or the hired men who were there to help the family member, such as the youthful David. As the owner's representative, he would be the chief and responsible shepherd, and so it would fall to him to give account of the sheep and to lead any search or rescue. On safely recovering a lost sheep, his return full of joy may well have been to the men looking after the main flock, but if he was long delayed by the rescue, could have been to the family at home. What, then, is the relevance of the picture to the grumbling scribes and Pharisees? The tax gatherers with whom Jesus was mixing were not honourable men, but men who made themselves very rich by exacting the tax due to the Romans from their own countrymen, plus as large a handling charge as they could for themselves. They were fleecing their own kith and kin to pay the hated occupying Romans and to line their own ample pockets. Hated, fallen men regarded as thieves and traitors. And yet Almighty God bothered with them, sent his Son, the Good Shepherd, to seek and rescue men like that. The Lord mixed not only with the tax gatherers, but with socially outcast sinners of every kind, men and women whose appetite for money or sex, or whose desperate search for relief from the endless grinding poverty, had caused them to fall. I do not suppose they meant it to end up this way, but just like the nibbling sheep going from one green tuft to the next, one thing led to another, until here they were in the gutter of society, social outcasts, lost, despised, and in great danger. Which one of you? A call to put his hearers in this position, the scribes and Pharisees first, but ourselves too, as Luke's readers. It is as if the Lord were saying, which one of you may be like King David in his youth, out on the hillsides with a few hired men and personally responsible for the family's sheep, 100 of them, which one of you would fail to bother with the one that strayed, would fail to seek and search until you could bring it safely back? Of course you would, and that is what I am doing. And all heaven rejoices over each precious, rescued, restored, repentant person. And will you, murmuring, self-satisfied, self-righteous religious leaders, fail to rejoice? Would such a picture reach the closed and hardened hearts of these men who so prided themselves in being not as other men? Had the scribes and Pharisees listened to Moses and the prophets, on whose writings they were regarded as experts and interpreters, God's prophet and spokesman Isaiah would have taught them that before the one with whom we have to deal, all our righteous deeds and efforts are as filthy rags. Noble and godly Isaiah, confronted with the majesty and glory of the Lord, found himself ruined, lost, and undone. He would have taught them that we have all gone astray as lost sheep, that we are all in need of repentance and of the mercy and forgiveness of God. Before Almighty God, The hard and compassionless, proud and self-righteous religious leaders did need to repent, just as much as the tax gatherers and sinners they so despised. However, their own preferred but mistaken teaching was that by meticulous law-keeping they could make themselves not as other men, so good, so religious, so perfectly acceptable before God, as to need no repentance. Hence the irony of the Lord Jesus' reference to the 99 who need no repentance. What is the relevance of Jesus' picture to us as Luke's readers today? We too can be like the sheep, prone to wander from the flock of God, from the ways of God, and, but for the grace of God, from God himself. Just following our desires, be they fleshly, worldly, or wearing the clothes of religion, like sheep, nibbling from one good patch of grazing to the next, we too can end up very far away and in very great danger. How many of us have known good folk, friends, colleagues, or family members who have strayed from godly ways? Like grazing sheep, they have been drawn away in the pursuit of pleasure, wealth, a career, or perhaps power, influence, drink or drugs, until they are so immersed in these that God and walking in his holy ways are long forgotten. I do not suppose for one moment they intended it to end up this way. It was just appetite. One thing led to the next, just like the sheep nibbling from one green patch to the next. The Son of God, at great cost, searched and rescued then, and he does so now. He welcomes, forgives, and restores straying, lost sheep. Could that be one of us? Just as the shepherd is listening for the feeble bleat of a lost sheep, so the Lord Jesus' ear is open to our cry for mercy and for rescue. Taste and see the joy of heaven over one sinner who repents, far greater than over 99 persons who, like the scribes and Pharisees, proudly imagine they need no repentance. On one occasion, a Pharisee invited the Lord for a meal, but failed to give Jesus the customary Eastern courtesies of a kiss, an anointing with oil, and foot washing. To the Pharisee's disgust, a sinner, a fallen woman, let her tears fall on the Lord's feet, wiped them with her hair, and anointed them. The Pharisee concluded that Jesus was no prophet, or he would have known the kind of woman she was. But actually, she was showing her love and faith in the one who alone could rescue and forgive her, a love so conspicuously absent from the Pharisee's attitude toward Jesus. To the fallen woman, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And the Pharisees at the table with him were left to ponder the question, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Consistently, the scribes and Pharisees murmured, but the angels of God, all heaven, rejoice over each sinner who repents, each person who, in Henry Light's words, is ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. The woman diligently seeking for her lost coin. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and diligently seek until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbours, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Again, we must ask, how did this picture speak to the murmuring scribes and Pharisees? Was the coin part of her dowry, or a coin she wore as jewellery, or just of great value in a society where bartering was the common practice, and money very scarce and rarely used? We do not know, but the woman regarded that coin as exceedingly precious, and so she spared no pains in her search until she found it, just as the Lord Jesus was doing with these fallen, lost, but exceedingly precious people. Zacchaeus, the little man who climbed the sycamore tree to see Jesus, was a very rich chief tax collector. When the Lord bothered with him and went to his house, they murmured, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But after Zacchaeus had clearly turned from his ungodly ways, Jesus said of him, "Today salvation has come to his house, for he too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Matthew, the gospel writer, was also a tax collector. After he had been called, he invited Jesus and his disciples for a meal, and they were joined by many other tax collectors and sinners. The self-righteous Pharisees were not slow to question Jesus' willingness to eat with such people. But Jesus replied, "Those who are well have no need of a doctor, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Can this picture speak to us in our day as Luke's readers? Because of its weight and shape, the typical coin will by its nature just fall and roll under or behind something that will hide it from view. In the same way, we love to excuse ourselves by claiming, "It's just the way I am," or "just the way I'm made." We may blame our genes, our upbringing, or our environment, anything, just so long as we can convince ourselves that it is not our fault. It is true that we do have differing inherited challenges or genetic predispositions to lie, to cheat, to steal, or to have to face strong, difficult, and ungodly passions and desires, for example, uncontrolled anger. The Apostle Paul recognized such things as he spoke of keeping under his body, in case, after preaching to others, he himself was a castaway. Most of us have character flaws, secret corruptions and inclinations that, unrecognized and allowed to run out of control, will bring us down. We also suffer from the universal human inclination to ignore the God in whose hand is our breath, to cut free and do as we want to do, to be as gods. Together, these would sweep us down the great broad way that before the judgment throne of God leads us to total loss, ruin, and destruction. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. May I ask, has the Son of God found and rescued you? Lord God, thank you for these penetrating parables that fell from the lips of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Show us, in our day, how far we have strayed, and bring us home. Disturb our self-righteousness, and awaken us to our true plight before you.